Tonight, we will study the combination of Jetas and Jetasikas, or compatibility between Jetas, consciousness, and Jetasikas, mental factors. Or you may call it matching game, matching Jetas with Jetasikas and Jetasikas with Jetas. And they come into combination in different ways because not every Jeta is accompanied by all Jetasikas, or not every Jetasika accompanies all Jetas. So they come into a combination in different ways. And today we are going to study the combinations. I'm afraid you'll have to do some class work. Before going to the combination of Jetas and Jetasikas, I think we need to freshen our memories, or we need to warm up so that when I say a sudden Jeta, you can pinpoint that Jeta. So first, let us go through the Jetas first. And please look at the chart on the blackboard. Or if you have a chart with yourself, please look at the chart. So the first column represents what? The first column, the 12 dots. These 12 dots represent unwholesome Jetas, or akusala Jetas. And the red ones are those accompanied by pleasurable feeling, and green ones, blue ones by indifferent feeling or neutral feeling, and green ones by ill will or anger or displeasure. So there are 12 of them. And then the next three columns represent the rootless consciousness, 18 rootless consciousness. The first column represents what? Resultants of unwholesome, resultants of akusala. And the second column, resultants of kusala, of wholesome. And the third column, only three circles, three dots, represent the functional Jetas, functional types of consciousness. They are not wholesome or unwholesome, and they are not the result of wholesome or unwholesome. So they are just arising and disappearing. So they are called functional, or they are called kriya in Pali. And the first one of the first column is a seeing consciousness. And the second dot, hearing consciousness. The third, smelling consciousness. The fourth, tasting consciousness. And the cross, touching consciousness, body consciousness. And the fifth, the fourth consciousness is tasting consciousness. The fifth is the body consciousness, touching consciousness. The sixth, receiving. And the seventh, investigating consciousness. And the second column represents resultant of kusala. Only one more there. One red dot. They also go like eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose, tongue, body consciousness, receiving consciousness, and two investigating consciousnesses. The first one is accompanied by pleasurable feeling, and the second one is accompanied by neutral feeling. Then we come to the third column. The first one is five sense door adverting. And the second one, mind door adverting. And the third one, smiling or smile producing consciousness. So the third one is accompanied by pleasurable feeling. These 18 are called rootless consciousness because they are not accompanied by any of the roots, any of the six roots. And the next three columns represent beautiful sense sphere consciousness. They have beautiful qualities, and they are accompanied by mental factors that are called beautiful, so they are called beautiful consciousness or good consciousness. The first column represents wholesome types of consciousness, the second column resultant, and the third column functional. And the first four are accompanied by pleasurable feeling, and the second four indifferent feeling. There are altogether 24. And up to that column, we get altogether 54 types of consciousness. And these 54 types of consciousness are called sense sphere consciousness. That means consciousness that arises mainly in sense sphere. Sense sphere means realms where sensual desire predominates, like human realm, animal kingdom, and lower celestial realms. And the next three columns, five dots each, represent what? Form sphere consciousness. Actually, they are jhana consciousnesses. So the first column are wholesome, the second column resultant, and the third column functional. And the first dot of the first column represents what? First jhana. And the second dot down, second jhana, and so on, third, fourth, fifth jhana. And the first four jhanas are accompanied by pleasurable feeling, and the last one is accompanied by indifferent or neutral feeling. So there are altogether 15 types of consciousness belonging to form sphere. And the next 3 columns, for each, represent formless sphere consciousness. They arise mainly in the Brahma worlds where there is no form or no matter, no material property whatsoever. So only citta and citta-sikas exist in these realms. And the first four or the first column represents wholesome kusala, the second column resultant, and the third column functional or kriya. The first of the first column, you remember that? Having infinite space as an object. And the second, having the first citta as object. And the third, having nothingness as object, nothingness of the first consciousness. And the fourth is called neither perception or non-perception. All of these 12 are accompanied by neutral feeling or indifferent feeling. And they are included in the fifth jhana. They are called formless sphere jhanas. And when we divide them into first, second, third, fourth, fifth jhanas, then they belong to the fifth jhana group. Now let me ask you, how many first jhana consciousness are there? One, two, three, right? Three first jhana consciousness three second jhana consciousness, three third jhana consciousness, three fourth jhana consciousness, and how many? Fifth jhana. 3 plus 12, 15. Three from form sphere consciousness and 12 formless sphere consciousness. Up to that column, there are altogether 81 types of consciousness. And these 81 types of consciousness are called mundane consciousness. They belong to mundane sphere or mundane world. And the remaining are called supramundane consciousness, transcending the world. And they are actually the path consciousness and fruition consciousness. The path consciousness arises at the moment of enlightenment, and the fruition consciousness immediately follows the path consciousness at the moment of realization, at the moment of enlightenment. Now, the supramundane consciousness can be just 8, or it can be divided into 40 types of consciousness. First, let us say 8 types of supramundane consciousness. When we say there are 8 types of supramundane consciousness, then we have to take the columns. The first column is only one cheta, and the second column another cheta, the third column one cheta, the fourth column one cheta, and so on. So the first column represents the path of stream entrant, sotapanna, and the second that of once returner, the third that of non-returner, and the fourth that of an arahant. And the next group, the first of the next group, represent the fruition of stream entrant, and next fruition of once returner, then fruition of non-returner, and last fruition of arahant. So if we take one column as only one cheta, we get 8 supramundane types of consciousness. But these 8 supramundane types of consciousness can become 40 types of consciousness according to how they are, how many of the factors of jhana they arise with. In that case, we have first jhana, path of stream entrant, second jhana, path of stream entrant, third jhana, path of stream entrant, and so on. So in that case, we have five path consciousnesses of stream entrant, and 5 path consciousnesses of once returner, and so on. So there are altogether 40 in that case. So 8 or 40. So there are 81 types of mundane consciousness and 40 types of supramundane consciousness. So when we add them together, we get 121 types of consciousness. If we take only supramundane as only 8, then we get 89 types of consciousness. So this chart is very helpful in identifying different types of consciousness, and it is like a map. So when you pick up a travel book and read about a place, if you have looked at the map, then you know what the book is saying about. Otherwise, you will be lost. So in the same way, you need to at least be familiar with this chart and, say, able to find out which data is the one is talked about.
Four path consciousness, but each one is in combination with the jhana, with the 5 jhana consciousness.
In fact, they are not jhana consciousness, in the sense that it is the same as form sphere consciousness. They are called jhana consciousness here because they resemble the form jhana consciousness in having the same number of jhana factors arising with them. So if you remind me, I can explain it to you after we study the combinations. So let us assume that you are now familiar with the 121 types. At least you look at the chart and then you know what we are talking about. So there are 121 types of consciousness. And then we let us go to chetasikas, mental factors. How many mental factors are there? 52 mental factors. And they are grouped into different groups. The first group contains how many? 13. First 13, right? And the 13 is subdivided into 7 and 6. And 7 are called universals because they arise with every chaita. And the 6 are called particulars because they do not arise with each and every chaita, but they arise in a scattered manner. So they are called particulars or pakinagas in Pali. And then the next group is what? Akusala, unwholesome mental factors. Then the other group, then beautiful. So there are 25 beautiful mental factors, and these 25 are subdivided into, let's say, 4 groups. 19, and the first group comprises 19 chetasikas. Second group, 3 abstinences, and the third group, 2 limitless or boundless ones, and the last, I don't know whether I can call it a group because it is only one, faculty of wisdom. So these 52 chetasikas. Now, the characteristic of chetasika is what? Arising together with chaita, disappearing together with chaita, having the same object with chaita as chaita, and having the same base as chaita. So whenever chaita arises, chetasikas also arise. Now we are going to study first the chetasika-chaita combination. That means we pick up a chetasika and then try to find out with how many chetas it arises. So if you look at the lecture note, you'll see the numbers there. So universals are associated with all chetas, so there is no problem. The first 7, they arise with every one of the 89 or 121 types of consciousness. But the next one, initial application, arises with not all, but only 55 types of consciousness. And the number, the serial number of numbers of the chetas are given. So initial application arises with chaita number 1 to 12, then 18, 19, 25 to 54, 55, 60, 65, 82, 87, and so on. But if you look at the chart, it's not so difficult. Now, please look at the chart and try to find the sense sphere consciousness, 54 sense sphere consciousness. Out of these, only 10 do not arise with initial application. So initial application arises with the first column, all of the first column, but second and third, you just leave the first five or ten. So it begins with receiving and ends with investigating. And then all the rest of the karma vajra. And among the form sphere consciousness, formless sphere consciousness, and supramundane consciousness, you take only the first line. How many are there in the first line? Beginning with rupa vajra. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11. So if you look across from the sense sphere consciousness, you get 11 circles or 11 dots in the first line. They are the first jhana consciousness. So initial application arises with only first jhana consciousness, but not with second, third, fourth, and fifth jhana consciousness. If you look, go back to the types of consciousness, you see that. The first jhana is accompanied by initial application, sustained application, joy, happiness, and one-pointedness. But second jhana is not accompanied by initial application, and third, not by sustained application, and fourth, not by joy, and so on. So the initial application accompanies or is associated with 55 types of consciousness. And if you can make diagrams like this, it would be very, very helpful. But it will take a lot of time. If you can spend time, it is just for initial application. So for sustained application, you will have another chart like this, and for decision, another, and so on. It is like the computer learning. So, I will leave this here, so that you get the idea. Now, initial application does not arise with seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, and so on. And that is because the impact of the seeing consciousness, the impact of the eye and the visible object is so great that it does not need, or the consciousness does not need, initial application to take it to the object. That is why seeing consciousness and also hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching consciousness do not need initial application. That is why initial application does not arise with these 10 types of consciousness. So we take out these 10 types of consciousness from 54. So we get 44 out of 54 sense sphere consciousness. And then in the jhana consciousness, it arises only with first jhana. So we pick only first jhana consciousness, which are 11 in number. So initial application arises with 55 types of consciousness. The next one, sustained application, arises with 66 types of consciousness. 55 plus 11 second jhana consciousness, or the second line. Then decision. Decision accompanies chaitta number 1 to 10, 12, 18, 19, 25 to 89, or 121. These are all combinations, and so it's not so interesting. And then effort is accompanies, say, these chaitas, 73 or 105. And joy or piti accompanies 51 types of consciousness. You know, piti accompanies the pleasurable feeling. So you have to choose from the types of consciousness accompanied by pleasurable feeling, or you have to choose from the red dots. Piti does not accompany the fourth jhana. So you just take out fourth jhana to consciousness, and the others are accompanied by piti. So we get altogether 51 types of consciousness. And then cognition. Cognition accompanies 69 or 101 types of consciousness. That is 1 to 10, 31 to 89, and so on. Cognition does not arise with two types of consciousness rooted in delusion and 18, rootless consciousness. These are the most difficult ones. The others are not so difficult. Now we come to the akusala consciousness. Akusala cetasikas, unwholesome mental factors. Now the first four always arise together. Delusion, moral shamelessness, moral fearlessness, and restlessness. These four always arise together, and they always arise with every type of unwholesome consciousness. So whenever unwholesome consciousness arises, these four are with it. So delusion accompanies chitta number 1 to 12, moral shamelessness accompanies 1 to 12, and so on. Now attachment, or lobha, it accompanies only 8 types of consciousness, those that are rooted in attachment. And then wrong view accompanies only 4 types of consciousness, 1, 2, and 5, 6. And conceit accompanies only 4, 3, 4, and 7, 8. Now, it is explained in the commentaries that wrong view and conceit do not arise at the same time, do not arise simultaneously. Wrong view is, say, taking that there is a permanent self or something like that. And conceit is a pride. Both are accompanied by attachment, say, attachment to oneself, attachment to I. But they have different in viewing things. That is why they cannot arise at the same time. Although there is conceit because there is the wrong view that there is a self or there is something permanent. And they are compared to two equal lions which cannot live in a single cave. So when there is a wrong view, there is no conceit, and when there is conceit, there is no wrong view. One may be conditioned by the other, but they do not arise at the same moment. They arise at different moments. That is why wrong view accompanies chitta number 1, 2, 5, 6, and conceit, chitta number 3, 4, and 7, 8. So they do not arise together. The next is 4 cetasikas, ill will, jealousy, avariciousness, and remorse. And these 4 always accompany 2 cetas rooted in ill will or dosa. So they accompany only 2 cetas, number 9 and number 10. And then sloth and torpor, they accompany those which are prompted, because when sloth and torpor accompanies the chaita, then the chaita is not so alert. It is a kind of Tao, so they have to be prompted. So sloth and torpor accompany only chetas that are prompted. So cheta number 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10. And then doubt. Doubt accompanies only one cheta, the 11th one, that accompanied by doubt itself. So doubt is the only chetasika which arises with only one cheta. Others arise with more than one cheta. And then common to beautiful, the first group, 19, they are common to all beautiful types of consciousness, beginning with sense sphere, wholesome sense sphere types of consciousness, up to supramundane consciousness. So these all 19 of these are associated with all beautiful types of consciousness. And then the abstinences, three abstinences accompany only number 31 to 38. That means the wholesome sense sphere consciousness. And then 82 to 89 or 82 to 121. That means supramundane consciousness. So abstinences accompany sense sphere kusala and supramundane. And then limitless ones accompany sense sphere kusala. And then 47 to 54, what are they? Sense sphere functional. And then 55 to 58, jhana consciousness? Yeah. 60 to 63, jhana. 65 to 68, jhana. What jhanas? First jhana, second jhana, and third jhana, fourth jhana. Because limitless ones do not accompany fifth jhana consciousness. Fifth jhana consciousness is accompanied by indifferent feeling, and the others are accompanied by pleasurable feeling. Now the last one, faculty of wisdom, or understanding or knowledge, it accompanies not all beautiful consciousness, but some of them, especially among the sense sphere types of consciousness. So it accompanies number 31, 32. And then 35, 36, and then 39, 40, and then 43, 44, then 47, 48, and 51, 52, and then the rest, 55 to 89. So all form sphere consciousness, formless sphere consciousness, and supramundane consciousness are accompanied by wisdom. Because without the knowledge or without understanding, these types of consciousness cannot arise. So they are always accompanied by knowledge or panya, or wisdom. So this is called the Sangha, Sambayoga method in Pali, that is Chetasika Cheta combination. We pick up a certain chetasika and try to find which chetas it arises with. If we are really familiar with the combination of cheta and chetasika, then we can easily understand cheta chetasika combination, because it is the other way around. If you write these down one by one, then you can just look at them the other way, and you get the second method, cheta chetasika combination. So you pick up cheta first, and then try to find out how many chetasikas arise together with that particular cheta. So the second sheet gives you this combination, cheta chetasika combination, and it is called Sangha, method in Pali. So unwholesome tetas with the decimal 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and they are accompanied by Chetisika number, the first one is accompanied by Chetisika number 1 to number 19 and so on. So you have to be familiar with Chetas and Chetisika so that when you say number 1 to number 19, you can figure out which Chetisikas are meant. Let us go through this quickly. So the first one, from number 1 to number 19, and the second one, 1 to 19, and then 25 and 26, and the third one, 1 to 18, and then 20, fourth one, 1 to 18, then 20, 25, 26, and so on. Now, if you go down the list, you'll see eye consciousness, etc. That means eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose, tongue, and body consciousness, they are often grouped together and referred to as twice fivefold consciousness, because there are five types of consciousness: seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, so on, and Each is of two kinds. One is the result of unwholesome, and the other is result of wholesome. So these 10 types of consciousness are collectively called twice fivefold consciousness. So in the list, eye consciousness, etc., means two eye consciousnesses, two ear consciousnesses, and so on, and two body consciousnesses. These 10. Can you point them out on the chart? These 10. Yes. So they are referred to as twice fivefold. And they are accompanied by only number 1 to number 7. That means only by universals. And then receiving consciousness. There are two receiving consciousness. And they are accompanied by Chetisikas number 1 to 10. And investigating consciousness, there are three. Two are accompanied by indifferent feeling and one accompanied by pleasurable feeling. So indifferent, that accompanied by indifferent feeling arises to is associated with Chetisika number 1 to 10, and with the investigating consciousness with pleasurable feeling arises with 11 Chetisikas number 1 to 10 plus 12, and then five sense door adverting, that is the functional types of consciousness, and number 28. Yes, number 28. And that is accompanied by number Chetisika number 1 to 10. Next one is mind door adverting, accompanied by number 1 to 11. And then that last one, smile producing, is accompanied by number 1 to 12. And then sense we are beautiful, wholesome, 31, 32. Right. They are accompanied by 38 types of 38 mental factors, and then 33, 34 by 37 mental factors, and 35, 36 by 37 factors, and not 36. So 37. Please correct it. 38, 37, 37, 36. Should go like that. So number 35 and 36 are accompanied by 37 Chetisikas. And then number 37 and 38 are accompanied by 36 Chetisikas. and then resultant consciousness, 39 4D accompanied by 33 chetasikas, and number 41 and 42 by 32 chetasikas, 43 and 44 by 32 chetasikas, and 45 and 46 by 31 chetasikas, and functionals, 47 and 48 accompanied by 35 chetasikas, 49 and 50 by 34 chetasikas, 51, 52 by 34 chetasikas, and 53 and 54 by 33 chetasikas. And then form sphere consciousness, first jhana consciousness. Here we take by jhana and not by kusala, wholesome, resultant, and functional. So first jhana means,
yes,
the three. The three across. They are accompanied by 35 chetasikas. Second jhana, accompanied by 34 chetasikas. Third jhana chetas, accompanied by 33 chetasikas. Fourth jhana chetas, accompanied by 32 chetasikas. And fifth jhana chetas, how many? Fifth jhana chetas.
Three.
3 plus 12. Three and the next group. Yes. So 15. They are accompanied by. Here we have a formless and form sphere. So here are three, accompanied by 30 chetasikas. And the formless sphere, the 12. They are the same as a fifth jhana chetas. So they are accompanied by 30 chetasikas. And then supramundane consciousness. We go by jhana chetas. So first jhana, supramundane consciousness, the first line, yes, across. They are accompanied by 36 chetasikas. Second jhana chetas by 35, third jhana chetas by 34, fourth jhana chetas by 33, and fifth jhana chetas by 33 again. Now, we have to devise many charts or many ways to attack this one problem. So this is another chart, and I think it is very helpful, but you need an explanation, because this chart was done about 8 or 9 years ago, and the man who drew the chart made some mistakes, and I didn't read the proof, and so after he brought them to me, I saw some mistakes, and so could not correct them, especially in some spellings of the chetas. Now, here I give only the Pali words, so it may be very strange to you, or it looks like another thing. Now, if you read this chart across, and you get the Chetasika combination method. And if you read down, you get the Chetasika Cheta combination. Now, the first one, Lobha Mula, that means rooted in attachment. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And they are accompanied by. Now, Sabba Chaita Sadharana, these are Pali names. The Universal Seven, and then Vitakka, initial application, Vichara, sustained application, Adhimokha, decision, Viriya, effort, Piti, joy, and Chanta, coordination. And next group, Moha, Ahirika, Anuttapa, Udhaccha, delusion, moral shamelessness, moral fearlessness, and restlessness. Next, Lobha, attachment, deity, ill will. Lobha, attachment, deity, wrong view, and mana, conceit. And then dosa, isa, machariya, kukuja. Ill will, jealousy, avariciousness, and remorse. Tina, meda, sloth and trouble. And vijikecha, doubt. Then sobhana sadharana, 19. Common to beautiful, 19. And viriti 3 means abstinences, apamanya 2, limitless ones, and panjindriya, faculty of wisdom. And then the chetas. Lobha Mula one, that means rooted in attachment. So they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And Dosa Mula, there are two. So the numbers are given as 1, 2. And Moha Mula, rooted in delusion, they are also 1, 2. So, Dosa Mula, rooted in ill will. So the numbers given on this chart are not the serial numbers of consecutive serial number of chetas. So it may create some confusion. Now the next group, Dwi Pancha Vinyana. Now that is twice fivefold consciousness. Dwi Pancha Vinyana. Twice fivefold consciousness. They are two seeing consciousness, two hearing consciousness, two smelling, two tasting, and two body consciousness. 10 are grouped together in this chart because they have the same number of they create some confusion. Now, the next group, Dwi Pancha Vinyana. Now, that is twice fivefold consciousness. Dwi Pancha Vinyana. Twice fivefold consciousness. They are two seeing consciousness, two hearing consciousness, two smelling, two tasting, and two body consciousness. 10 are grouped together in this chart because they have the same number of chetasikas arising with them. You can expand this chart. It may become like a spreadsheet. There is a chart, really a chart made by one of my friends, but the type is too small that even though it's about 5 feet tall, it's still difficult to read the type because they are copies, and so the copies are not so distinct. If you can make a chart say big enough and giving the types of consciousness one by one, then it would be a very easy reference, because you can see any type of consciousness and then read through the chetasikas. But this chart is for those who attend class. It is compressed. So Dwi Pancha Vinyana, 10 means seeing consciousness and so on, the 10. Sampatichana, receiving consciousness, two of them. Santirana, UP means upika. That means Santirana accompanied by indifferent feeling. There are two. And Santirana means investigating. And then Santirana so means Santirana accompanied by pleasurable feeling. Pancha Dwara Vajana, that is five sense door adverting. Mano Dwara Vajana, mind door adverting. And Hasitupada, that is smile producing. Next, Kama Vajra Kusala, 1 and 2, or first and second, and then third and fourth, fifth and sixth, seven and eighth. They are grouped together because 1 and 2 are accompanied by knowledge of Panya, but 2, 3, and 4 are not, and so on. And then Kama Vajra Vipaka, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seven, eighth. Kama Vajra Kriya, functional, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seven, eighth. And then Rupa Vajra, form sphere consciousness. First jhana 3, second jhana 3, third jhana 3, fourth jhana 3, fifth jhana 3. And then Aruba Vajra, they are all fifth jhana, 12. Now, here comes the most difficult area, because you have to multiply Sotapatti Magga with first, second, third, fourth, fifth. they are too much compressed here. If you expand it, then it will become another page. So Sotapatti means the first one, stream entrant. Sotapatti Magga, first jhana. Sotapatti Magga, second jhana. Sotapatti Magga, third jhana, and so on. Yes. So you have to read the cross. And then Sotapatti Phala is the second subgroup. Sotapatti Phala, first jhana. Yes. Yes. Sotapatti Phala, second jhana. Sotapatti Phala, third jhana, and so on. Now, why supramundane consciousness are called jhana consciousness, right? I told you, if you remind me, I'll explain it to you. So I remember now. Now, if you look at the Sotapatti Magga, first jhana, or if you compare this with Rupa Vajra, first jhana, So you see these two? So is there vitaka for both? Yes. Vichara? Yes. Piti? Yes. And happiness is included in the first universals, seven. Because happiness is feeling or vedana. And so it is included in Sabbacitta Sadharana, seven. So there is happiness there. And then the last one is what? Ekagata. The last one is also among seven. So they have the same, the Rupa Vajra first jhana and Sotapatti Magga first jhana has the same number of same number of jhana factors arising with them. That is why this Magga Chaita is called first jhana Magga Chaita. Actually, it is not jhana Chaita, but it is Magga, or it is path Chaita, path consciousness. This path consciousness resembles the first jhana in having the same number of jhana factors arising with it. So, with the first Rupa Vajra jhana, you see there is vitakka, vichara, initial application, sustained application, joy, happiness, included in the seven universals, and one-pointedness of mind, also included in the universals. Sotapatti Magga has the same amount of, same number of jhana factors. That is why the path consciousness is called first jhana consciousness, first jhana, first path consciousness, second jhana, first path consciousness, and so on. So they have the same number of jhana factors, not same number of chetasikas, but same number of jhana factors. That is why they are called jhana magga chaita. Actually, they are not jhana chaitas, but they are magga chaitas, or path consciousness. And the other chart you distributed today is just to help you pinpoint the chaitas by numbers. So you can put numbers in these circles, 1, 2, 3, 4, if you want to. And if you have time and if you can do charts like these, they will be very helpful when you review, and you can get the answer instantly when you have these. You will have to make about maybe 10 or 20 of them, not 52, because the universal seven can be grouped together as one, and then 19 common to beautiful can be grouped as one, and the abstinences 3S1, limitless ones also 1, and so on. So you don't have to draw 52 charts for 52 chetasikas. It may be about 10. And that, and one of my students reduced this to a very small size so that they contain about 20 or so charts on one page of this the letter size. And then he put colors in it. That's another way of doing it economically. So you don't have to have big charts. And I can offer you some charts also. They are different from the circles, but they are also helpful. It was made by a student of mine. And in this chart, the kusala, akusala, vipaka, and kriya are differentiated from one another, like triangles, circles, squares, and hexagons. I'll leave them here. So if you're interested and if you want, then you can make copies here. And in the circles or in these squares and so on, you can put the number of chetasikas arising with each one. So you can put here 19, 19, 21, something like that. So we have to do many things to help our memory. And this is actually already done, but it was done in color, and so when it is copied, some numbers don't show clearly. So you may do what you like with these. So I will leave them here. So at least, please be familiar with or be able to look at the chart and say, this is this data, this is another data, and so on, and also the other chart. Oh, this chart, but it is very helpful. And if you want to test, or if you want to exercise or something, I have also blank charts. No small dots given there. So you can just put them yourself. It takes a lot of time. When in the olden days, they don't need these charts because they learn by heart the whole book, and the whole book is just about maybe 60 or 70 pages, so it is not a big deal to memorize the whole book. So when you have memorized it, then you have the whole book with you always, and you can refer to it whenever you want. And so you don't need these charts, actually. But when you cannot memorize the whole book, then you need these charts to help you to understand clearly. So either way, what you need to do is to become familiar with these. At least, even though if you cannot say without looking at the chart, if you refer to the chart and you understand it, then it's all right. And we have to, in our countries, we have to practice it repeatedly so that when the teacher asks us, then we are able to answer him promptly. So we practice among ourselves, among our students, like asking one another, how many chetasikas go with the first data, then the other will say 19, and name them, and you will have to say 7 universal vitaka vichara, and so on. So that will be practiced, so that when we went to the teacher, and the teacher asked that we are ready with the answer. Okay. Any questions?
What is the wonders? Do all the Burmese schools memorize this? And if there are some that do not, what are the advantages of memorizing it versus not memorizing it?
In Burma, they still memorize. You have to memorize a lot, especially if you're a monk. But the lay people have this the Western system of education, and so they don't memorize as they did before. But monks still use the traditional method of studying. Now, I think Burma is the only country where Pali grammar is taught on traditional lines. That means there are what they call, let's say, grammar books. And these books contain aphorisms, a small short statements, and then the commentary of that statement. So these short statements are called aphorisms. And we try to, or we actually memorized these aphorisms, and also if you can also the commentaries. So memorization is still done much in our country. And when you have memorized it, as I said, you have the book with you always, and you can call to your mind the contents of the book whenever you want. And so you're always with this, with the knowledge.
Is there an advantage in meditation? What is the advantage in meditation, for example?
You mean memorization?
Yeah, how would it help your spiritual progress? Notice.
Not much. But a knowledge of Abhidhamma can help you clarify what you experience during meditation. So a knowledge of Abhidhamma is very helpful for the practice of meditation. Also, it is not indispensable. So if you go to a place without reading a book, you will reach there, but you may not know which is which building is which. But if you read the map before you go to the place, then you know what building it is, and you don't have to be told. In the same way, when you are familiar with the mental factors and types of consciousness, then you, during meditation, you experience this, and you know what you are experiencing, what you are seeing mentally, and so you don't have to be told, or you don't have to be explained in a detailed way. So that is the benefit of the knowledge of Abhidhamma in meditation. But the knowledge of Abhidhamma can help us in our daily life. That means when we know Abhidhamma, and when we know according to Abhidhamma that something is akusala and something is kusala, then we can avoid akusala and we can do kusala. And even when you do kusala, if you know how to do it, if you know how to do it so that you get the best, you get the most benefits out of it, then it has a practical value. Let us say, people aspire for nirvana. Say, may I attain nirvana through this act of merit? Say, through this act of dana, giving, or through this act of keeping precepts and so on. But just wishing for nirvana is not enough. You have to do something. That means to attain nirvana in future lives. You have to be born with a type of consciousness accompanied by wisdom, so that you are capable of enlightenment in that life. So in order for you to be reborn in such a life, or to get such a rebirth, you have to do you have to see to it that the merit you do here will suddenly give the results you want. That means sometimes we do meritorious deeds without much thinking, without serious thinking. So when we do meritorious deeds superficially, let us say, then the consciousness at that time will not be accompanied by wisdom or understanding. Sometimes we just give it. We pick up the thing and give it to some other person. We don't think of the karma and its results or whatever. So if that merit is not accompanied by understanding, then the result it gives will be without understanding. The result means the result as the rebirth consciousness in the next life. If we are reborn with consciousness not accompanied by wisdom or knowledge, then we will not get enlightenment in that life. That means we will not get to nirvana in that life. So the knowledge of Abhidhamma can help us to shape our own future, future lives, by doing what we believe to be the best of the merits, meritorious deeds. So it has a practical value in our daily lives too. But in meditation, it is just a helpful clarification. Without the knowledge of Abhidhamma, many people practiced meditation and they became enlightened, or they gained insight into the nature of things. Sometimes people experience or people see something through meditation, but they do not know what they saw. Once a woman reported to me that she was watching the painful sensation in the body, and after some time that sensation disappears. And she thought that there was something like a gap, and she didn't know what it was, because there is painful feeling, and when it disappears, and before the pleasurable feeling arises, there is some kind of interim period or something. And that is what we call indifferent feeling or neutral feeling. And it is said in the books that neutral feeling is very difficult to see. You can think of it, you can talk about it, but to actually see through self-experience, the neutral feeling is very difficult. So that woman saw or experienced that neutral feeling, but she didn't know that she was experiencing neutral feeling. So when it was explained to her, she was very glad that she could experience it, neutral feeling. So if she had the knowledge of Abhidhamma, maybe she wouldn't need any explanation from the teacher.
You had mentioned a few weeks ago that in Buddhism there's no eternal soul. But then when you talk about reincarnation, I don't know how does it work? There's nothing like that.
Yeah. We will come to it when we come to the thought processes. But I'll explain it now too. We accept momentary existence. So everything comes into being and disappears every moment. So even in this life, one moment is different from another. We live only one moment, and then die, and then next moment, and so on. Now, Buddhism does not accept the permanent soul. It's something which lasts forever, something which goes from one life to another, maybe purifying itself or something like that. But Buddhism accepts the rebirth, or you may call it reincarnation. Now, what is reborn in the next life is not the identical one who dies here. And it is not altogether disconnected with the one who dies here. So this is a difficult point here. We have the formula. Neither he nor another. So the one reborn there is not the same person as here, but the one reborn there is not totally different, totally new, or not connected in any way with the one who dies here. Actually, beings have gone through many lives, and so they have this accumulation of merit and demerit. So when merit or demerit, that means when good karma or bad karma gets favorable conditions, then it gives results. So we do not know when they will give results, when the karma will give results. But when the circumstances are favorable for good karma to give results, then good results are created or born. So the next life is conditioned, or let's say caused by something of good or bad karma we did in the past. So because of that karma, there is the result. So the karma and the result actually are two different things, but they are connected as cause and effect. I usually ask people, are you the same person as you were 10 years ago? What is the answer?
Yes or no?
Both yes and no, right? So in the same way, is the person reborn there a totally different person, or the person something goes from this life to that next life, then you have to say yes and no, because it is not totally disconnected. The one reborn there is not totally disconnected with the one who dies here. But nothing from this life ever goes to another life. Nothing is transferred to another life. But because of some cause here, the result takes place there. So in that way, Buddhism accepts, does not accept permanent or eternal soul, and accept rebirth. I'm a little afraid of using reincarnation, the word reincarnation, but actually they are the same, the reincarnation and rebirth. But we cannot avoid these words when we talk about this. But in the ultimate sense, there is no rebirth, because the one we say is reborn is just born there, not reborn. If you say reborn or reincarnation, we imply that there was something and it goes to that place. He becomes a different person again. But in fact, as because of something here, there is the result. So, in the chapter on dependent origination, at the end of the chapter on dependent origination, something is explained that we accept identity as well as diversity. Both, we accept both. In one sense, the one who dies here and the one who is reborn there are different. And in another sense, they are something like a continuity. So we accept continuity as well as the diversity. So we have to go. We have to accept both, or we have to accept. We have to be. What do you call? It's not compromising, but something like that. So we have to accept both in one sense or the other.
If nothing is carried into the next life, then how do you explain people who, like the young person in India who was run over by a truck and then remembered all the people from the past village and so forth?
I think that is memory. Carried means, according to the teaching of Abhidhamma, everything has moment-to-moment existence. But this it is not that the previous moment gives something to the next moment, in the sense that I give you something to you. But this moment is a condition for the next moment. So when it conditions, it may the result or the following may have some of the qualities inherent in the preceding, but not that the qualities are transferred. But because of the conditioning of these qualities, there are the results reborn with these qualities. Not identical qualities, but with similar qualities. Is that clear?
Well, that's what you were saying before, but I don't understand. Just even bringing up the idea of memory, that means that memory arises and passes away in each moment also.
Yes.
And so there must be something. I mean, it becomes pretty fantastic to think that, I mean, fantastic in the sense of awe-inspiring, that the mind is something that is capable of reconditioning the future so that actually patterns from the past are retained for the period of time that they are.
Yeah.
Back to our childhood.
Yes.
To continue to think of that coming into existence every moment and retaining as much of that pattern as it does is really an amazing accomplishment.
Yes. On conventional level, we accept that. But on ultimate level, we say that every phenomenon arises and disappears. And since the one is the condition for the other, so the one following gained something out of the preceding one, but not that the quality in the preceding one is transferred, bodily transferred to the next one, but it gets something as a result of the condition. Maybe it amounts to the same thing, but the explanation, the way of accepting is different, because in, we Buddhists also say. Say a person is reborn, or I remember my past life and I was such and such in my past life, or something like that.
So that's just a conventional way of speaking.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. Could you say what the difference is between speaking about?
Gaining what?
It seems it's hard for me to see the difference between ambition and gaining an idea and wanting to do meritorious deeds in order to have a beneficial reward. You know, in order to for personal enlightenment.
It is not only spiritual greed. It is. Greed for worldly things also, because as Buddhists we accept the samsara, the rebirths. So the best thing is try to become enlightened in this life. But enlightenment may come in this life or it may not. So we may need 10 lives or 100 lives to become enlightened. So if we are going to be reborn, then we want to be reborn in a better existence or something like that. And being reborn as a human being or in a better existence help us to get nearer to enlightenment, or to get more favorable conditions for the practice. But the ideal is not think of any future lives or whatever, but try to practice here and now, and try to gain enlightenment in this life. But if we cannot attain, or if we cannot hope to attain enlightenment in this life, then we will have to go through this journey of samsara. And when we go through this journey of samsara, we want to go comfortably or happily. And so we try to do meritorious deeds so that we may be reborn in a better existence. And that is why beings are reborn again and again, because people have this kind of attachment to existence, and this is one kind of craving. the second noble truth. So the idea is to get rid of the attachment or craving altogether, so that there will be no more rebirth or no more becomings again. Yes.
Are there conditions that help abstinence thrive? And if so, what are you?
Abstinence? Yeah, there are conditions, I mean, circumstances where the abstinences arise in you. Because when you practice meditation, there is no occasion for abstaining from anything. Because you abstain from something only when you have the circumstances there. Say you have the situation in which, say, you want to kill an animal, and then you do not kill it, and you refrain from killing it, and that is abstinence. But when you practice meditation, you don't have the situation for abstinence, but you just practice meditation, and so during meditation, abstinence, the abstinence as the mental factors do not arise in our minds. Now we speak of eight factors of path or eightfold path, and the three are these abstinences. But when we practice meditation, strictly speaking, only the others arise in our minds, arise with our chittas, but not these three. Because before practicing meditation, you may have taken precepts. And after, when you take precepts, you are, you make a commitment to abstain from killing and so on. And so they may arise at that moment when you take precepts. And after that, they no longer arise in you when you practice meditation.
But say you vow to abstain from certain things, and still you notice the desire arises. But what I'm asking is abstinence a choice, or is it that the desire won't arise?
I think it is a choice. You choose to abstain from killing or something. Or you may not abstain, and you may break the precepts. So it is one's choice.
So is there something that puts you over the top, so to speak, to have the energy to abstain? What is it that helps one have the energy to make the right choice?
That is indeed the knowledge of karma and its results. If you kill, that is akusala, and akusala will have bad results. Or it is, even though you are not afraid of the result, even in this life, it is not right to kill beings or something like that. So, and in knowledge of this is what motivates you to abstain.